Hey, everybody. Glad you're with us today, and hope your June is off to a great start. In South Texas, we haven't had a single week where every single day is over 90 degrees yet, so we feel like we're off to a great start. But some of us freeze for Jesus in the north, some of us fry in the south, and then some of you live in a perfect four-season weather climate. But regardless, we are glad you're here today, and I'm looking forward to talking with a really good friend. Tamara and I are so blessed every time we get around to he and his wife, Jay Coleman. Thanks for being with us, man.
Hey, Jim, it's good to be with you guys, and so excited to be a part of this webinar today. And hey, just like you guys, we're down here in South Louisiana, and it is hot. We are really good at bearing with humidity and hot, but also good at dealing with some boiled crawfish. So it's good to be with you guys today.
Yeah, there's always something good to enjoy, right? That sounds good. Well, hey, tell us a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, Jay.
Today we're going to talk about developing a welcoming culture within your church. I think that when we think about that, instantaneously our mind goes towards guests. Like, what does our guest culture look like as we're interacting with new people walking in the door? How do they feel coming in? What does our team make them feel like? But I think it could even go beyond just dealing with guests. I think I would also like to focus maybe a little bit as well on what does our church feel overall? Do the people who are consistently coming to the church, do they feel loved and welcome? I think that the knee-jerk answer would actually be to say, well, absolutely, they're coming back, so they must feel welcome. So we want to continue that culture of people just feeling welcomed and loved. And then we're going to talk about just some small changes that we can make, some just simple practical stuff. I think most of the stuff we're going to talk about today, most people are aware of this. Most pastors know of these things. But sometimes we can kind of, you know, we get a little maybe just kind of stuck in a rut a little bit. And we need to kind of look at things from a different perspective sometimes. So today, just real simple practical thoughts.
Yeah. Well, it's easy, real easy to get in that rut. You know, I think sometimes that's why God uses some of the phrases he does in scripture, like he calls us a flock. So pastor, yeah, you better know people are coming to eat. whenever you show up Sunday, they're coming to eat something, right? And then he calls them a family, and they're coming to be loved, you know? And then he calls them a body, and I don't know about you, but showing up to work, I show up to eat quicker, and I show up to be loved quicker than I show up to work. And if you don't do the first two, that third one starts suffering in your church. And it's easy to get busy, I think, in the mechanics of ministry sometimes and forget. I was with you about maybe 5 years ago, I don't know. But when we were with you, I know that was one of the things that impressed me, was just how you and your staff were out with the people and making sure that they knew this is a family. Man, when you come on campus, we're here to be a family.
Yeah, I tell you what, we're going to talk a lot about that today. But interacting and mingling with people as they come into church, whether they're guests or they're just a part of the church family, that's crucial. And my favorite thing to do is I never tell anybody I'm the pastor. And if they come in as they're a guest, they don't know who I am unless they've been online. And we've had some pretty funny stuff happen throughout the years. As far as I had a girl one time, this was in year two of the church. She came in. I'm just in the foyer visiting with people, and I get to chatting with her. And she asked about the church, and I said, yeah, it's all right. And she said, well, what about the pastor? And I'm like, well, he's an all right guy. Preaching's not really all that. But, you know, he seems to be all right. I told her, so he's kind of crazy, though. And so we finished the conversation, and I found her in the auditorium before I walked on the platform, and her face was just like, oh, my gosh. As soon as church over, she made a beeline to me. She said, you're right. The pastor is crazy. But I think that is crucial, just interacting with people, loving on people, meeting new people. And as pastors, we need to be leading that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, when I was with you, I mean, you had your shirt off and you were in your T-shirt. You went and put your shirt on later. And I think I should have done that today because I got some of my salad dressing on my shirt. But, hey, it's all good, right? But, I mean, I really did. I mean, I took notice. You guys did a good job. And I can't wait to get into it. I mean, I've got your notes, so I don't want to take a whole lot more time. I do just want to welcome new members to Significant Church, Pastor Merle Cann from Brooklyn and Pastor Mark Dunphy, Pastor Neil Henderson, Pastor Michael Hennigan, Pastor Troy Holbert, Pastor Ray Jones, Pastor Rob Kennedy, Antonio Neely, Chris Orr, John Serio, Man, Va'iligan. I blew that one. Mark, Pastor Joshua Wilson, Pastor Lawson King, Pastor Richard Perez, and Pastor Yoel Trujillo from Cuba, which I should be able to get pretty easy because I live in a place with where that's a common name. But anyway, you know, we exist really to do three things. Number one, celebrate the significance of pastors. Man, we just encourage people, don't do the math, do your part, and watch what God does in people's lives. And then the second thing we exist to do is to help them find refreshing relationships wherever you are. God wants life to feel on earth as it is in heaven, and it doesn't unless you have good relationships. And then we have a lot of ways we bring resources that we pray, not just that you'll reach your dream, but honestly that you'll exceed the dream that God put on the inside of your heart. So that's why we exist. I encourage you to go check out our website. And these webinars, we do them every 2 weeks, and we just encourage you, man, they're like a bi-weekly lunch appointment where I'm going to bring you somebody I know you'd love having lunch with. You and your staff will both benefit, but also just really enjoy the time we spend. So we're going to jump in today, and we're going to let that happen. So, Jay, talk to us. I know that, you know, the early church is kind of the model, I guess, for some of the stuff you're going to share.
Yeah, Jim, I do want to say, first of all, we're blessed by you and Tamara, just the friendship that you guys have shown us throughout the years. We love Significant Church. You know, we've been part of quite a few organizations in the 30 years of ministry, but this is the one that we walk away from, and we always say the same thing when we walk away. We're so much better after spending time with the people of Significant. And we've enjoyed the conferences. We've enjoyed time with the leadership. And I got to say, each week when you do these webinars, you always, you know, have to go through all the new members and welcome them. And it blesses my heart to see how the organization is growing. And I think that speaks of you and Tamara's heart just for people, the people in rural America that make up so many of the churches across America. And you're brave for pronouncing all those names, because I would butcher many of the names.
If Tamara was here, I would have delegated it. I promise you.
That's what a good husband does. He's like, hey, honey, come in here and help me. So, So real quick, yeah, the model I think that every church probably strives for is found in the book of Acts. You know, I love doing studies on the book of Acts. I love seeing the power of the Holy Spirit. I love seeing people come to Christ. You know, you study through the book of Acts. It's just such a beautiful work. And I've taught our church that what I love about the book of Acts more than anything is at the end, the way the ending of it is so abrupt, because it's an ongoing story. It carries on through even where we are in history today. We are actually living out the book of Acts. And so as a church, you know, whenever we are going to develop a culture that shows the love of Christ and makes people feel loved and welcome whenever they walk in the doors of our church, we have to look at Acts chapter 2. And this is, these couple passages at the end of Acts chapter 2 is actually what we developed our guest culture, our church culture around, when it teaches us, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And verse 47, I love this, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And the last part is where we're going to really kind of focus today. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. What is that? That's the mark of a healthy church. That is the mark of a church that is just alive and thriving with the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and a welcoming culture. I think that they were caught up in the kind of the honeymoon phase of the church here. They're just so excited about what the Lord's doing amongst them. And every day they had new families that were coming, new people just coming to check things out. And the church is growing daily as people are coming to Christ. And so we learn a lot from that, how the early church embraced this, because let's face it, there's a lot of people who come in our church, and I don't necessarily know if we many times think the way that a guest might think as they walk into our churches. And so we're going to talk about developing that welcoming atmosphere, that loving atmosphere, and honestly, little changes that we can make that can build. And so think about that. Jim, I know with y'all's church, it's probably very similar. When guests walk in, oftentimes you can spot right off the bat who's new at the church, like their first time in or maybe their second time in, because they have that look on their face. They're kind of looking around like, where do I go? What do I do? And they don't know what they're walking into. And so I think that they want to come. They want to come experience a great service. They want to come, you know, meet some new people. But think about how nerve-wracking that might would be for somebody walking into your church for the first time. And I got to say, for y'all's church, Stacy and I have been with you guys several times. And when we come to the church there, we always feel your people do a great job of just showing the love of Jesus, but just loving people, wrapping their arms around them, just making them feel so welcomed. And so we've always enjoyed coming out and being a part of what your church is doing there, because y'all have a great culture.
Well, you know, one thing for us, and I don't know if this is true for you, but we've noticed that identifying guests is different today than it was years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess what I mean by that is in a given week, we identify guests as much through children registration and giving and things like that as we do through people saying, hey, I'm a guest. I'll fill out this card, or I'll text something to you, or I'll, you know, go online and let you know that I'm here. And so to me, it seems like today's so important, because how we engage guests has to be different. They're a little slower, you know, than they used to be. But we have more. I mean, we have tons of guests that come. But you have to engage them, like you said, when they come on the campus, you have to engage them based on their feelings and how they see things. They're not all going to fill out a card and tell you, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, I know that we have watched this. Y'all have probably seen the same thing. But before the pandemic, we would get quite a few guest cards, especially on big Sundays, Easter, whatnot. We used to get just tons of guest cards. And you know, after the pandemic, we don't pass offering buckets anymore. We just rely on the, you know, online giving, and for the we have boxes on the back wall. And so now people aren't as apt to drop a card, because you got to work for it. You got to go to the welcome center, whatnot. But we've tried to kind of navigate around that. And here's what I've discovered is you don't have as many guest cards from those first time guests. They're going to wait a lot of times to the second or the third time that they come back, and they feel comfortable. And so then they can fill out that card, they can drop it off, and you can make a connection. So you're absolutely right that a lot of times you've got to be watching many different avenues, children's churches, they come in and they register those kiddos as a way to be able to connect with them and to begin to develop a relationship with them.
Yeah, which is really what it's all about. It's about developing a relationship and them being able to taste your church and see what they think. So let's start. How do you guys do that?
Well, here's a lot of what we have implemented. I visited a church. My wife and I, Stacy, visited a church. It was probably 12 to 15 years ago. Large church. Well-known and great ministry. We love them, love what they're doing within the community, and just love their heart for their city. And we visited and was looking at it like, hey, we can gain some great insights here. What I gained from that visit to that church was different than what I kind of expected, because we walked in, nobody greeted us. We didn't know where to go. We had never been to this church before. We'd watched online, but we had never visited their campus before. And so we visit, and we don't know anybody. We're looking around. There's the signage. The signage wasn't there. And so eventually we make our way into the auditorium. We find a seat. And I'll tell you what, at that point, I've been pastoring for quite a few years, but I was nervous, you know, as a guest. Here I am, a guest. I'm going in this church. What is it going to be like? What am I going to experience? And so I took from that, a lot of people who visit our churches are the same exact way. They come in and they feel probably what I was feeling as well. And so here's some things that we learned from that visit. Just three simple things that I want to share with you guys. And let's start off in this direction. You've got to honestly, and I actually say that, I'm going to emphasize that word. You've got to honestly evaluate your guest culture, because too many times we get blind spots. Too many times we get comfortable. Too many times we are at the place to where we just kind of go through Sundays and maybe never really reevaluate where we are as a church and how our guests are feeling. And so over the course of time, maybe signage that we have in place that can give people directions where to go, what to do, maybe that gets a little outdated. Maybe our greeters are ones who are helping in that capacity. If we're not doing ongoing training, we can begin to slip in some areas. And so here's one of the things that I've learned. If you're going to honestly evaluate your guest culture, then as a pastor, do not delegate this off to somebody else. As the pastor, you have got to be willing to post yourself in the foyer on a Sunday morning, before service, after service. And here's what I'm going to tell you. It's very simple. Just watch your foyer and gain a feeling from that. Does it feel warm? Does it feel welcoming? Do the people feel loved? Or are your greeters congregating with one another? Are they congregating with people that they know and are comfortable with? And because that's our tendency. As people, we love to be around people that we're familiar with.
Sure,
and
sure.
So I would tell you that gauge that. As you're in that foyer, see what your people are doing. See how the guests, what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And you've got to honestly evaluate that guest culture, because it comes down to that. If you're not going to be honest with yourself, you're not going to be able to improve in the areas you need to improve in.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, I know churches that even do this, that they tell their people that, you know, this is your time together. This is our time to focus on guests. They'll actually have it kind of systematized, because it is natural. I mean, you come to church, and before I was a pastor, I came to church to see my friends. I wasn't necessarily interested in meeting new people. But most people are willing, just so you don't make it all about meeting new people, but you actually give them some time to hang out with their friends. I like your second one, and I want to tell my funniest story that you just brought up in my head before you get to your second point. I went to a friend's church, and I was preaching, and we went down what was his educational wing, all right? And I looked at the signs on the door, and it said SOB1, SOB2, SOB3, and he had like six classes. And I just started laughing. He said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "Well, man, I didn't get saved till I was 17. I said, if I walked down this hallway. And he said, "What?"
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it was School of the Bible 1, School of the Bible 2. But it wasn't what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, that could get confusing real quick. We had a church in our community. This was years ago. They had a sign, and they have since replaced the sign, but it had their Sunday services listed. And then they had underneath that, it said BS at like 9:45. And I'm like, whoever approved this, they need to go back and reevaluate.
I guess that was Bible study too, right? I think
it was Bible study time. But it's like, I know everybody who's driving by who does not go to church. I'm having a pretty good laugh about that. So first things first, you got to honestly evaluate your guest culture. If you're not willing to be honest with yourself, then you're not going to be able to change some things that need to be changed. And it means that you're going to have to, as the pastor, you're going to have to be in that foyer watching guests. But it doesn't mean that you're not interacting with them. You should be. But have, operate on a couple of different levels there. And you can be watching and kind of seeing what's going on at the same time as you're fellowshipping with people as well. Here's the next thing that is very valuable to us. And every time that we have somebody come in, I say every time, Jim, I probably asked you this as well whenever you guys were with us a few years ago, is you've got to have a trusted friend evaluate your guest culture, the culture of your church. Be willing to hear feedback. Be willing to ask somebody who loves you as the pastor, who loves your church, who wants what's best for the ministry. Ask them to come in and honestly evaluate. Don't identify them. Don't, have them stand up. Hey, this is so-and-so. They're here today evaluating. Don't do all that. But just have them kind of what we talked about a second ago in the foyer, watching, talking to people, interacting with people, and let them get a feel for your church, because they're going to be able to give you some feedback from that will really help you make some decisions in the right word. Here's what I'm going to tell you, though. You've got to be willing to listen to that feedback with an open mind. You've got to be willing to listen to that feedback with an open heart, because our tendency oftentimes is to make excuses, or our tendency is to get defensive. I had a guy ask me years ago whenever we first, it was probably about year two of us living here in Baton Rouge, that he wanted me to come. He was a young pastor. I was young as well, but he wanted me to come, you know, visit their church and see what was going on. And so I did. And I started asking, I didn't make it, you know, in any pointed remarks or anything, but I started asking him about different things. What about this? Why do y'all do that? And his tendency was to make excuses. And as the conversation went on, he started getting a little defensive. So I kind of backed off of him. I mean, we weren't really, you know, that good of friends, but I could tell that, you know, as he's getting defensive, you know, the tendency to make the change on his part probably was not, you know, going to move forward. In all honesty, I don't think that he's there as the pastor anymore. He moved on. But, you know, as pastors, it's good for us to get feedback from other people around us. And it is good for us to be able to hear what their thoughts are. Because as I said a few minutes ago, it's easy for us to get blind spots. We may not see this even with our preaching. Sometimes it's good to have people listen and give us honest and maybe not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. And so in regards to our guest culture at So you can learn something from any church setting that you find yourself in, if you got your heart open to that.
Yeah, and boy, if you recognize it online, like there's a guy that he's in his late 60s and he's pastored a great church up in South Dallas. And I just watched him the other day and I thought, oh man, I loved how he did baby dedication, you know? Yeah. And I kind of got talked into doing it quicker in our service, but he went just the other way and his church is bigger than mine. But he structured it so well, and I just came in the next Thursday, and I said to my creative director, man, we got to change this, because when I watched this guy online, it was just so good. If I was the parent, I would have loved how he did it way more than the way I did it. So, I mean, it just never stops, really, but that's the fun of it, really, once you realize that, you know. And honestly, Tamara laughs at everything. If I got off this chair and I started walking, I tripped, she'd laugh before she'd ask me how I was doing. I mean, that's just her nature. For me, I can fight more being trying to get everything right. And even if my heart isn't tight, my habit can be, right? If my personality isn't that way, my habit can get there. So,
well, Jim, let me ask you this. Are you guys the same way as us as well when you visit churches sometimes? Because let's face it, we all drop the ball, you know, with different things. You know, we run out of paper towels in the ladies' bathroom, or, you know, or maybe we you know, ran out of guest packs or something like that. Have you ever visited another church and you see a typo or you see something and you're like, man, this is a church that you look at, like, they got it together. And you walk away and you're like, okay, good. I feel so much better because we're not the only ones who drop the ball. Everybody drops the ball from time to time.
Yeah. When we were in California, we went to two churches. I won't name them, right? But they were both great churches. If I named them, you'd know them. And Jeffrey was in seminary, so we went to the first one. And I was the first one there because I couldn't wait to hear this guy speak. He had a great reputation for how he connected with the next generation. And I was the first one there, and the usher took me, and you couldn't even choose your own seat out of the whole sanctuary. They went and walked me to the worst seat over here in the corner. And I thought, well, this is great. I come first. I'm a guest, and I get the worst seat in the place. And then I went to a second one that night, and I went in the bathroom. Oh, my goodness, it was a mess. And I actually snapped a picture because I had some staff that were a little tough on our facilities team. And I just snapped a picture and sent it out. But because you have to laugh with your staff sometime, too. And I think sometimes the guys in our position, it's not our job to be a dirt inspector pointing out every little thing wrong. It's our job to help build structure and help people see things so we can get it right, right? So.
Well, my staff hates it whenever I have an opportunity to run on a Sunday morning. My wife actually spoke for Mother's Day. I asked her, said, you know, sweetheart, you know, Mother's Day, that's her thing. You know, Tamara's probably the same way. And I asked her this year, do you want me to speak with you or you want to do it by yourself? She's like, I got this. So she had a great message, but I had the opportunity because somebody took my seat that they have reserved for me. They gave it away. And which I'm fine with that, but I'm walking around in between services and I'm telling the staff during the staff meeting, okay, look, we need to fix this. We need to organize this a little bit better. And so they're like, oh, we got to keep him busy on Sunday mornings. Well, so honestly, evaluate your guest culture. Look at where you need to make those changes. Have a trusted friend that you can have come in who's going to help evaluate that culture as well. So you got another set of eyes, another set of ears that you can give you their opinion that you're going to trust, but you're not going to get defensive about. And then here's the last thing before we just really get into some simple things that you can do to help make your church more welcoming and loving is you got to lean towards an outwardly minded culture. You know, I think a lot of times it's easy for us and we're humans. We all fall into this where we can get very inwardly focused as a church. One of the blessings, and Jim, I know you guys have seen this in y'all's church. In this culture, this day and age, churches are a lot more outreach minded, or they're a lot more serving within the community minded. You guys do phenomenal in that area. And I know that for us as a church, that was one of the things when we came in, it was 21 years ago now, that when we came here and moved and took this church, it was about 35 people at that point. They thought that they were outwardly focused, but quite honestly, they were very inwardly focused, very loving people, but they were very inwardly focused. And here's how I knew that. We moved here and they had built a new facility. It would hold about 150 to 175 people. It was a cute little facility that they had built, little metal building, but had absolutely no foyer. It had a hallway where you walked in, had bathrooms, had this auditorium. The children's facility is very limited. The nursery, I'm not kidding you, would hold maybe four, five, six babies at the most.
Wow,
packed.
Wow, wow.
Preschool was very limited. Children's church was very limited. And so that was the first thing that I saw as a young dad coming in. I was 30 years old, and I had children, and I recognized that we were very inadequately prepared for young families with children. And so what that showed me was that this church is very inwardly focused. They're thinking about what is best for them, because the congregation at that point was probably, we say more mature, you know, as mature adults. They were probably 60 plus was the majority of the congregation. And like I said, they thought they were very outwardly focused, but honestly, they were very inwardly focused. So we began to lay vision in front of them to think about other people that they wanted people to visit. But What are those people going to think about? What are they going to look for whenever they come into a church? So we really started putting vision in front of them to think about other people who were not churched, who were de-churched, and what their mindset would be like, and what they're looking for whenever they were coming into that church to visit. And so as a pastor, this falls 100% on you. You've got to be one who is willing to lead. You've got to be one who is willing to lead towards that outward-minded culture. Your verbiage, the things that you teach, everything has got to be focused on, as people are coming into our church, they're looking for Jesus. They're looking, they may not know that they're looking for Jesus, but they're looking for the answer to what they're facing. And what is it going to show them from the time they drive on our parking lot, they walk in our foyer, they find a seat in the church? What are the things that we're doing where we're showing them that we are thinking of them, that we are outwardly minded, outwardly focused, and trying to reach the world with the good news of the gospel? And so that, in my opinion, it comes down to, you can train, and you better be training, you better be teaching your people, but you got to be willing to lead. And that was one thing we discovered early on when we got here. When I left the church we were serving at in Lafayette, which was about an hour away, my last role there was, I was the outreach director. And so had a lot of opportunities to talk with a lot of people outside of church, and just got some really good, great mindset, some great perspectives. And we brought that into the church. So when we moved here, we started, you know, we were thrust into a church that is thinking of themselves, and we wanted to change their thinking to think about other people outside. How do the unchurched and the de-church people think? And as they come into the church to visit, how are we going to make them feel loved and welcome, to where we can present Christ to them in a way that their heart is open to it?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what you said, we can learn from everybody. And it's not that we're not working hard within, because I went to dinner Tuesday night with a new family, and they've been to church over a year, but he was a deacon and a leader in his churches for years. And I mean, successful churches, and they moved here and they joined the church. And he asked me what we did for our widows, and what they did in the church he was from was so much better than what we're doing. Yeah. So we're going to have served days to the widows within our church that are going to make us stronger, you know. But what you learned is really true. If we will feed people's souls, and if we'll be family to them, there are so many people that'll come into God's house. And that's what Faith Family Church honestly was built on for years, was just teaching our people to honestly care, you know, when you go and the waitress looks like, you know, she brought you the wrong food, and there's probably something going on in her heart if that happens. Yeah. Are you going to think about your food, or are you going to think about the fact something's going on in your heart? And start building the reputation of your church to be the place where when people, man, they love you there. And, you know, the sermons help me every time, you know. And I think a lot of pastors think it's harder than what it is. They just don't focus on it, you know.
Yeah.
To your point. Yeah.
Well, I think that it's really easy. We can be behind a pulpit. We can be behind that desk teaching the Word of God. But we have to remember that when we step out from that pulpit, and then as pastors, as we get out into the community, we may not know who they are. We're probably not going to know who that person who visited is, but they know us for sure. And we better make sure that what we're teaching is matching up what we're living whenever we're out in the community. And so if you go eat a breakfast at Waffle House and your waitress, you know, serves your hash browns and they're a little too crispy, are you going to chew her out? Or are you going to act like the customer who was there 10 minutes prior who, you know, berated her? Or are you going to show her the love of Jesus? And what you do not, and I'm actually speaking to you from experience, because I had a conversation about 6 months ago with a little waitress who had visited our church. I had no idea that she had visited our church, and that she had actually started coming as part of her New Year's resolution. But thank goodness that, you know, I was everything lined up that day. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've got it perfect every time, because, you know, there's times that I've dropped the ball as well. We all do. But you better make sure that what you are living in the community lines up with what you're teaching from the pulpit.
Yep, for sure. So honestly evaluate your culture. Have a trusted friend evaluate it too. Lean towards being outwardly minded. And I like what Tommy Barnett says. You don't have any cigarette packets in your parking lot on the way out. If you don't have man, get on your knees and repent and pray and get outwardly focused. Ask God to send you those people. So, so some simple fixes, some things we can start on right away.
Okay, let's talk about it, because I think that a lot of churches in this day and age are doing really good in the things that we know that we're supposed to do. We get our guests to fill out a card, you know, if they're willing to do that. A lot of churches now are giving that gift. You know, I remember years ago visiting a church, and they talked about if you fill out this card, you'll get a gift. Well, I had only been saved for a very short period of time and filled out the card and turned it in and was excited about the gift that they were going to mail me. And you can imagine my surprise that week whenever I got a letter, but got like a little pamphlet, little brochure. And I'll be honest with you, I was disappointed. I was like, man, where's the gift? But you know, I think a lot of churches have learned through the years, these are things that we need to do. They're very simple. And by and large, most churches are actually, they're doing that now. And so that's great. But there's little tweaks that we can make all along the way. And most of these things that we're going to talk about are just so simple. Very simple things to make people feel loved, make people feel welcome. And I'm going to say the first one, probably a lot of people just say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You got to smile and smile. And we trained our serve team to smile, smile, and then smile some more. Smile until it makes your face hurt. I've heard this my whole life. I don't know if it's true. They say it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm assuming it is because it's on the internet. But the bottom line is this, if the joy of the Lord is in our heart, within our life, then we need to be willing to show it on our face. And if you want to create a loving, welcoming atmosphere, you need to be one that's willing to smile. Let that joy be evident within your life. This is one of the things that we learned that we taught our serve team when we launched the church 15 years ago. And this has worked very well for us. Now, you guys are like us, Jim. It's very hot in Texas. It gets hot here in South Louisiana, especially in the summertime. This is a little bit harder. But we found that greeting people on the outside, because before our team was inside waiting for people, it's like, no, let's get outside the doors. Let's greet them outside of the building. And then let's walk in with them as they're coming in. And while you're walking in with them, it's not an awkward moment, but you're having conversation with them like, you know, good morning. How are you doing today? It's so good to have you with us. You know, oh, I see you got, you know, kiddos with you. It gives you an opportunity to really engage them. And so we found that if you will greet people outside of your building and walk them in, you're already starting to create that welcoming environment and atmosphere. And some of the tension that person might be feeling is already kind of starting to ebb away. So that's something it's so simple to do, but a lot of times we don't do that. We just kind of wait for people to come to us. Here's another thought that I think that is great. And this falls on all of us. It's not just the greeters, but it's us as pastors as well. We've got to discipline ourselves not to just visit with people that we know. Our tendency is, and we've already talked about this a little bit, is to be drawn towards the people that we are friends with, that we know. But as a pastor, as a greeter, as a church member, if I will focus, I'll be outwardly focused and thinking about people who are coming into the church who don't know anybody. And instead of congregating with all my friends and hanging out with them and talking about what happened, you know, as the LSU Tigers won last night, go Tigers. Instead of that, I'm going to go engage somebody and meet somebody and start a conversation with somebody that I don't know. Then you're developing even more so relationships, but you're making that person feel welcome as well. And so that's just, it's so simple, but a lot of times we're going to stay in our comfort zone. We're going to do what we're comfortable with instead of really disciplining ourselves to step out and go visit with people that we don't know and engage them.
Yeah, I was coaching a select baseball team years ago with my son on it, and they qualified to be in a tournament. And so I was in Little Rock, Arkansas for the national tournament, and it was hot. I mean, so hot, Jay, that people were like putting ice on their backs. You know, it was that hot in the tournament. And so then I, of course, visited a church since I was there. And, man, they had somebody in the parking lot. And they asked me the age of my kids, and they were amazing. And I remember that the service was over, and the pastor's message was great. I mean, it was good. But I found myself bragging on that church, and I realized it had nothing to do with the music. had nothing to do really with his message, but what that person did in the parking lot made everybody better, right? Everything was better because he helped Tamara and I with four kids get everybody in the right class, feel like, man, we're glad you're here. And it does. It just makes a huge difference.
Well, I think a lot of times whenever you start talking to people about, you know, the role that they hold within a church, I think a lot of times people say, well, you're the pastor. Your role and what you do on Sunday morning is so much more important than what everybody else is doing. And one of the things that we've taught our people is everybody is of equal importance. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor. It doesn't matter if you're pouring a cup of coffee. It doesn't matter if you're parking a car, changing a diaper in the nursery. Every single person has a place on the team. And we are all equally important, because you're absolutely right. That person in the parking lot who helped you and just made such a big impression on you, like I said, you don't even remember what the message was, but you certainly remember what that one on the serve team did. And so I think it's valuable for us to teach our people that, hey, just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that I'm any more important than you. Everybody is of equal importance. And we have a place to play within the body of Christ to really make people feel that love and feel the warmth of Christ coming through. And so, which kind of brings me to another thing that we can do, is that don't just greet people, but visit with people. I guess probably a greater way to say it is have conversations with people. We are all familiar with the customary, you know, good morning, how are you? It's good to have you with us today. But beyond that, we need to be willing to have conversations with people. I am convinced that just as much ministry goes on in that foyer, maybe more than actually happens in the auditorium, because I've prayed with people. I've actually led people to Christ in our foyer before. I know that people that are on our serve team and people that are members of our church have had tremendous opportunities within our foyer to just show people the love of Jesus and minister to them, because they're willing to have a conversation with them. I remember whenever we were under construction of the facility that we are, our central campus, that's where we started out, 2007 and 8. And we had the plans drawn up for this building. And one of my board members' wives was not happy about the plan. She said, the foyer is too big. You're wasting space. And I told her, I said, just trust me on this. And she said, you know what? I love you. I'm going to trust you. But once again, my opinion is that foyer is too big. She came back to me about 3 months after we had launched Journey, and she apologized to me. And she said, you know what? You saw something that I was not willing to see. And she said, I come in here on Sunday mornings and I see so many people in this foyer just engaging each other, visiting with one another, and it's so beautiful. And so she apologized to me, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool, because if you're willing to have conversations with people, it makes them feel loved and welcome. So that, once again, the foyer is a great place for ministry, and we need to be willing to be ones who are out in that foyer, loving on people, having conversations with people. And Jim, you said this a minute ago. This actually is one of the things that I was going to point out. As people come into your church, if you are, doesn't matter if you're on the serve team, doesn't matter if you're the pastor, help people. If you see they got kiddos and they're new, get them, help get those kiddos squared away. Help get those kiddos in children's church. Help get those that family to the place where they feel comfortable. And then from there is quite natural. Invite that family to sit with you in the service, because if they're new, if they are not familiar with the service setting, then if you invite them to sit with you in the service, it automatically, those walls or those defenses or that nervousness that maybe they were feeling, it automatically begins to drop, you know, a little bit. And so I think that these are, like I said, these are all just very, very simple things that we can do to help make people feel. And it makes that guest culture go up, and you're building excellence every time you make a little change within your church.
Yeah, I mean, they're little things, but I've taken notes. I mean, and that's what these webinars are about. I mean, I get sharpened every time, and I take some notes. And you, sometimes we do our trainings, and then our trainings morphs in, the culture morphs into what it is, you know. And we got to keep some of that training. We got to bring it back, you know, time and time again. And really, when you read the Gospels, I mean, Jesus, You don't read many of his sermons, right? But you read what happened when he met a blind guy by a pool, and you read what happened whenever he met a woman that was married five times by the well. So if our church isn't doing that, then that's really the reason we don't have a lot of people coming, because if they're doing that all week And if they're trying to get these people with them, then you have a steady visitor flow in your church. I mean, I know that sounds easy and even challenging to some guys who say, well, man, I'm working so hard in my sermon. I'm working hard on this and that. But I tell people that when I prayed about our church and God put Luke 14 in my heart, that our services were to be for the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And I told our church, hey, when I preach on marriage, look for that lady who's had four or five husbands or two or three, you know. When we preach on purpose, look for somebody like the Apostle Paul that's like sold out to purpose, but man, he's going the wrong direction. And bring him. And for me, I tell people all the time, I couldn't have become a better preacher from the time when we went 8 weeks and had not one decision for Christ as a pastor. And then within a year, we had 365. You could listen to my messages. I didn't go crazy good as a preacher. That isn't what happened. Our people got better at living that Luke 14 culture and noticing people on the outside. And I have to bring us back to it all the time. That's one reason on Sunday afternoons I get the visitor flow report every Sunday, because I know that if that's going down, then I've got work to do as a pastor. And it's great to list it right today, but it's also important that we remember to just continue. I know you. So one way you continually keep it alive is you're out in the lobbies all the time. That's how you keep it alive. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that this is where we, you know, this is a sweet spot. I had a good friend of mine. He's spoken to my life years and years, and he told me, he said, the 4 years is his sweet spot. And I took note of that. You're talking about when you can learn something from everybody. And he talked about being out in that foyer, engaging people. So when we launched our church, that was just kind of one of the practices that I made a part of who I am. I know that, and a lot of churches have a green room. I'm not against that. I think that's wonderful. You've got an opportunity to have a place to go where you can, if you're doing multiple services or whatnot, that you can, you know, kind of relax for a few moments. But for me personally, the foyer is the place where I want to go hang out. And this is going to sound crazy. You're going to think I'm nuts whenever I tell you this. But as I'm in that foyer and I'm visiting with people, usually I'm in there, you know, 5 to 10 minutes before service starts. But here's where you're going to think I'm nuts. I actually hang out in the foyer to about 15 minutes after service has started. And the reason for that is because I like to catch people who are coming into the church, that because a lot of times your guests are coming in late. And that way I can engage them and visit with them. And they never expect the pastor to be after service has started in the foyer. They expect them to be in church because service is going on. Well, I've already had great worship time. I've already had time in prayer. And so I can hang out in the foyer and I can visit with people. And by and large, we have a constant flow of people coming in from about 10 to 15 minutes late. And I'm catching those people. I'm visiting with those people. I'm interacting with those people. And it's so funny. A lot of times I see the surprise on their face, like, what are you doing out here? And I'm telling them, well, I was waiting on you. And I'm out here. I'm waiting on you to get here. And I wanted to say hi to you. And so to me, that's just, you know, just something very simple that I can do. And I know not everybody's, you know, of the same persuasion to say, they might say, well, I want to get in church when service starts. But it's just a practice that I put in place, you know, and have been doing for so many years. And I love visiting with people, checking on their kids, seeing how they're doing, and meeting those guests. Because, man, that's such a powerful thing to be able to engage with them and connect with them.
Yeah. Well, I think regardless of whatever you do, I mean, would you never check on your worship in a service if you're the pastor? Like, would you never know if it's good? So what's more important than guest connection? You know, so when I don't preach, sometimes I do the same thing. I sit up high. I listen to the sound in different places. People say, what are you doing up here, Pastor? I say, I want to see what church is like to you, you know, and they'll laugh. And so I think it's a great practice. I may not do it as much or as well as you do. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about it, but it's a great practice.
So I've done this before where I will go out and sit in the crowd during worship and I'll have my mic on, you know, it's on, my face mic is on, but I'll sit there until service time starts. And then we roll through a bumper video or whoever's up in front of me will introduce me. And I'm still sitting there and I'll switch on my mic sometimes and start talking right where I'm at. And everybody's looking around like, where's Pastor Jay at? And then I'll get up and walk from there to the platform and they I've done that several times, and they think they're like, man, this dude's nuts.
Yeah. Well, Stacy knew it, but the whole city's getting to know it now, right? How nuts you are. So,
absolutely.
Well, good. So smile, and smile some more. They taught me that when I was trying to sell Bibles to somehow pay my way for college years ago. Greet people outside, walk them in, discipline yourself to visit with people that you don't know. Don't greet people, visit with them. I love that one. The foyer is a great place for ministry. Help families get their kiddos in, invite a family to sit with you in church, and then service is over. What do? I know we're getting near the end of our time and near the end of the list, so.
Well, once service is over, I'm usually in the front praying for people, but a lot of times I'm going to have, you know, the serve team, our prayer team, I let them do their part. But I want to kind of push people for prayer, I'm praying for people, but I want to push them to the prayer team members. But a lot of times I'm back in that foyer. That's kind of the sweet spot. Want to be able to engage. And if you're not, as a pastor, able to be in the foyer, because maybe you are at the front praying for people, maybe you are, you know, you have ministry requirements at the front, have people that are there, have your serve team there following up, loving people, have some of your point people there that, you know, I say this a lot of times, they expect pastoral follow-up, but if a member of the church follows up with them or ministers to them, that means so much to the individual. And so if I'm not able to be in the foyer afterwards, then I'm going to have some of our team out there just meeting people, loving on people. And so remember this, everything rises and falls with leadership. And as the pastor, what you've got to, you know, we want to be able to visit with people. We want to be able to engage people, but your leadership is watching you. If they see you in how you're interacting with people, they'll start picking up those same practices.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question, and that is, do you have the same people try to come to you? Like, do they know where you stand in the foyer? Do they try to get there?
They do. Yeah. There's ones who make a beeline for me, and you know, you just kind of learn through the years. Of course, Jim, you know this. You've been doing this longer than I have. That you're graceful, you love them, you know, you pray with them, you pat them on the back, you hug them, whatever. But then you gotta. I had a friend of mine years ago. He said, "I call it like a boxer. Like you stick and you move." And you minister to that person, and you got to, you know, move on to somebody else. And I'm like, so I kind of took that in. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna use that. So I stick and move on Sunday morning so I can engage different people.
Yeah, well, you know, I watched somebody one time, and they'd look somebody in the eye real good, say something real sweet, and had somebody with him say, "Will you pray for them?" And then they'd move on, you know. And there's just no way not to like them, but that. What we do at the end of services is we have prayer partners. So if anybody wants prayer, they're there for you. We have pastors, like I have stage left, Michael has stage right, and Pastor Larry has stage central. And there's only three ways to get out. So we're going to have a chance to just kind of show everybody we're here for you, you know. And yeah. But you're right that people, they expect things. I mean, I've had guys confess to sleeping with a prostitute in my lobby on the way out. I mean, you never know what you're going to hit at the end of the service, you know.
You get that full-on counseling service in the foyer.
Yeah. Well, when he started, I said, "Hey, you know, I love to talk afterwards, but will you just stay over here for just 5 minutes till everybody goes out?" I thought, man, he's going to leave the church and think, what did I do? You know, he's just – but, I mean, he obviously had some challenges. But anyway, it's nothing like loving people. You know, next week we're going to talk about how to last, and I'll tell you how to last. Love people. And I'm sure the one that talks to you next week will give you a lot more insight than that. But I'm going to tell you, laughing a lot and loving people is the key to longevity. There's no question about that. So, well, good. Well, I think, is there anything else you want to say before we go?
Well, I can tell you this much. You talk about laughing. I know that every time we were here in Tamara, we laugh a lot. We learn so much from you guys, and we're just blessed to count y'all as friends. I would say that the last thing I would wrap up is, don't forget that I said this just a moment ago, everything rises and falls with leadership. If you really want to see some change take place within your church, really simple stuff that you can do, but it's got to start with you as the pastor. You've got to be willing to step up and make these changes and let them, you know, as your people see that within you and how you're interacting with people, then they'll embrace that as you begin to train them in that direction of being outwardly focused. So real simple stuff. When we talked about this, like, what do we want to do today? It's like, let's just do, you know, some practical things that we can really teach people and talk to people about. So thank you guys for having me on today. I've enjoyed this.
Yeah, well, man, thanks for taking the time. Tell Stacy hi. And, man, thank you for being with us today. And remember, there's all kind of things that are archived. If you're going into planning season, you can learn planning systems. There's tons of stuff that's on the website, and it's there to help you. And I just think, man, it's been such a blessing to me to get to know so many great friends and to just be able to grow together. And God wants that for pastors. I can still remember when I was getting ready to go preach somewhere. Honestly, I accepted an outside invitation. And, you know, it helped with vacation money at that season of my life. And the Lord started dealing with me. He said, now, is this what you want to do? Do you want to take 6 or 7 of these a year? Is this what you want to do? And when the Lord does that, you know, you just go, yeah, he's going somewhere. So where are you going? And that's when he started dealing with me about small counties and places that didn't have thriving churches and pastors needing friends and all that kind of stuff. And it's really a joy to see the need gets smaller and God do more every single year, which is all that we can do. And that's the bottom line, right? Things don't change overnight, but they do change over time whenever we do the right thing. So thank you for being a part of it. So glad we had a chance to be together again, and we'll see you in just in a couple of weeks. Yeah, will you pray for everybody before we go out?
Absolutely. Father, we love you so much and thank you for your presence here with us today. Lord, I thank you for your hand of anointing over the different things that you have called us to. As we lay our hands to those things, Father, as we endeavor and work, Father, I thank you that we are mindful, Lord God, that we are doing this for your glory and your honor, Father. Give us creative ways to be able to reach people through outreach, Father. Give us the discipline to be able to make changes within our life, Father, that will benefit our ministries, Lord God, as we have the tremendous opportunity week in and week out to be able to present the gospel to people on Sunday mornings, Father. But I thank you that day in and day out, Father, we will be all about building your kingdom. Wherever we are, Father, give us those opportunities to pray for people. Give us those opportunities to witness to people through simple acts each and every day, Father. I thank you for Significant Church, Lord God, the blessing the organization is to so many pastors across America, Lord God, and we just thank you for your continued hand of blessing over. We love you today. We give you praise for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, again, thank you for being with us. And, hey, life goes quick. Enjoy yourself this weekend, all right?